Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and we have a team of naturopaths around Australia and New Zealand that specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. And joining me today is Jana Kremers, an orofacial myofunctional therapist and breathing educator. Hi, Jana.
Hi, Jess.
So we see lots of children and adults with sinus and breathing issues in our clinics due to allergies and sensitivities who benefit from a combined approach of addressing their symptoms with PAT, as well as correcting dysfunctional breathing patterns with Jana. So today, Jana is going to talk to us about the causes and implications of dysfunctional breathing and how these issues can manifest across the different age groups. So to start us off, what does an orofacial myofunctional therapist do?
A good question. It is a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
I guess the simplest way to explain it, it's like physiotherapy, but it's for the mouth, head, neck, and breathing. So a myofunctional therapist would identify where the muscle dysfunction is, muscle imbalances in the way that the person is resting and functioning, so swallowing, speaking, breathing, and then they would prescribe corrective exercises. And those corrective exercises usually follow a program where someone is starting out in a simpler level and improving their skills. It's a bit like learning to read. You know, you start with the alphabet and then progress to syllables and words. So it's about reaching the goals of myofunctional therapy, which are actually quite simple. So if you don't have any breathing or oral dysfunction, these things should be what you naturally do anyway. And the goals of myofunctional therapy are correct and functional nasal breathing at all times, especially at rest, which includes nighttime. Correct tongue posture, which is in the roof of the mouth. And I've got some little props there to show it to you later. Correct lip posture, which is with relaxed but proper lip seal, and correct swallowing pattern, which doesn't include any muscle compensations, which can cause issues with head neck area pain or dental crowding, maybe the age group that we're talking about. So it's basically tools. A myofunctional therapist won't fix anything for you, but they will provide you with an exercise program and tools to address and restore a normal breathing pattern and normal oral function.
Yeah. I liked your analogy of like a physiotherapist, but for the head, neck, mouth, breathing area.
Yeah.
And what dysfunctional habits do people with allergies typically develop when it comes to this area?
Yeah. So when it comes to allergies, I like to be specific because people say, oh, well, I've got a I get a rash when I eat a tomato. So when we're talking about dysfunctional breathing patterns that come from allergies, we talk about airborne allergies. And the very common things that I see people being allergic to is dust mites, mold, and then your environmental allergens such as grasses, pollen, serpents, and, you know, all the different things we have in our beautiful environment. And what those allergies do to the breathing pattern. Often people will experience a runny nose or what's called allergic rhinitis. So it's a constant, a bit of discharge, a bit of a drip from the nose. And what people would typically learn to do is either excessively blow, which is also not healthy, but then there is the other side of it, the spectrum, where they would constantly sniff up. So they go, and I hope the audio captures what I'm trying to show, but it's the pattern where the person is sucking the air in through their nose. With the air, they're sucking the mucus that's excessively coming off because they are having the allergic response. And what happens, first of all, those that can see the video can see that my nose closes up when I sniff. So it actually narrows the nasal passages even further, making the person feel like they can't breathe even more. And the other thing that happens is the diaphragm, which is our main breathing muscle that we have in our body. When we breathe normally, it goes down on the in-breath and up on the out-breath. When we sniff, it goes up on the in-breath Yeah, so we develop a reverse way of breathing, or what can also be sometimes called paradoxical pattern of breathing, where the diaphragm is not moving correctly in sync with the breath because of the constant sniffing analogy.
Interesting. So what are the implications of this dysfunctional breathing pattern?
Well, first of all, people would complain about the fact that they can't, that they'll often say, I can't take a full breath, or I can't breathe properly through my nose. And what this does is makes them more likely to mouth breathe, which filters the pathogens even less. So they get more input of the allergen into their body, and they get the symptoms become worse. So they sort of get into this negative cycle of first responding to the allergen in the first place, then starting to breathe less than optimally, then because of that using their mouth for their breathing, which case they inhale the allergen even more. And we're talking about those environmental things. And obviously our nose is our best protective mechanism that we've got against those allergies. The nose has 7 levels of filtration. It humidifies the air. It takes out the the bacterial and the dust matter, and it settles in the nose. That's partly why we get the response. But our nose is meant for this. Our mouth doesn't filter anything, and then those allergens go straight into the lungs, in which case people can develop chronic cough. They often develop asthma. Asthma and allergy tend to go hand in hand, or substitute one the other. And these are the main symptoms: the discomfort with breathing and the constant mucus, runny nose, sniffing. So these are the main symptoms.
So you were saying how we actually take on more of that allergen load when we are mouth breathing. And this is something we see in our clinics. People, it's a big clue of a dust mite allergy is waking up with symptoms first thing in the morning. So yes. Does it also impact sleep when it comes to these breathing patterns?
Yeah, 100%. And I see the same thing. Is like, to me, that's a red flag for a dust mite allergy when their symptoms are at its worst when they wake up in the morning. Well, mouth breathing itself negatively impacts sleep because the person's not able to metabolize the air properly and get the right levels of CO2 and oxygen, and therefore the quality of their sleep can be compromised. The stages of, they may not be going through all the proper stages of sleep, and thus they can be waking up pretty tired. So I think you might agree that those people will tell you, I have allergies. I wake up in the morning with a snotty nose or sneezing, needing to blow my nose in the morning, and I wake up tired. So that waking up tired is the main thing in which that can affect the person's sleep. And then, you know, that cumulative fatigue over time can impact the person's concentration while they're driving, while they are learning, and all those important things that we get to do through the day. Yeah,
definitely.
That's like for adults, it can also start them into, sometimes children too, but for adults more typically, that can tip them into the snoring sleep apnea side of things, because all snoring sleep apnea starts with just an open mouth, and then it slowly progresses further into a more serious condition.
Yeah. And speaking of that, how do each of these issues manifest across the different age groups? Does it usually start in infancy and go from there?
It definitely can. The allergies don't necessarily start very early in infancy, but the effects that lack of sleep can have on babies and toddlers and young children are quite similar. They can get irritable, hyperactive, tired, cranky. I often see kids with enlarged tonsils and adenoids, and that's the body trying to deal with allergy in its own way, and those lymphatics working way over time to try and protect the body from something that's potentially not even that bad. And with children, when this allergy starts early in life, that can affect their jaw development and the structure of their face and their sinuses, because the jaw is the basement, the sinuses is the floor upstairs above that, and what's above is beyond, is below, and got a bit stumbled on there, but you get the idea. Is the floor of the nasal cavity is the roof of the mouth. So that's within our bony structure. That's all part of the same system. And when you have narrow sinuses and they're inflamed because of they have allergy, there's an allergic response in an individual, that everything is worse. So addressing those symptoms early definitely does pay off.
So for those who are listening, perhaps with kids or even for themselves, what would be a couple of telltale symptoms that would tell them that they may be having a dysfunctional breathing pattern?
Watching the person, you asking about children or adults?
Yeah, like what would be an easy way to spot that there is an issue happening for them?
Well, first of all, at night you would see an open mouth, so lips that don't come together. Any sort of noisy breathing is not normal. Snoring is not normal. It's sort of labeled in our everyday culture. It's funny. It's not funny. It is a dysfunctional pattern, and it's, you know, when someone snores, they are on the pathway of developing sleep apnea. So that is worth addressing as early as it can be. Put me back on track with the question.
Yeah. So what are the benefits of a combined approach with PAT and myofunctional therapy to address these breathing issues?
I've had some personal experience with PAT as well, and I've had it myself, and my children have had it. I have one child who's predisposed to environmental allergies, and my learning curve of how to manage the house and her response to things has, you know, it's helped me be a better practitioner. But what I found is that removing the body's response to a pretty harmless thing, such as, you know, okay, it's a tree pollen or it's grass, it's like, all right, well, it may not be ideal for us to be inhaling this, but it's not dangerous, but the body interprets that as dangerous. So PAT can take away that response of the body. But say if the person is continuing to be stressed, to be breathing dysfunctionally, to be a mouth breather, that treatment is less likely to hold. So I think they'd be more likely to be needing more frequent repeats if they're not correcting the underlying cause and not restoring the proper way to breathe.
Yeah, because it's all about minimizing your exposure after having PAT to help get that longevity of relief and not redeveloping these. So that's where I can see the really big benefit of correcting these breathing issues to be able to sort of stop it at its core, at how it's starting. And on a side note, what are your thoughts on mouth taping? It has become quite trendy, so I'd be very keen to hear what you think of it.
Definitely it's become trendy. If you were to ask anyone 5 years ago, they'd look at you like you're a lunatic. And what happened is just before COVID, a book called Breath by James Nestor was published, and that book was sort of timely because people started paying attention to their breathing during COVID. But also it touched on mouth breathing. It is about mouth breathing, but it touched on mouth taping. And I think, you know, a combination of things that have happened in that space have triggered more and more companies to make the product and make it available. And if you do a search on Amazon now for mouth tape, you'll see like hundreds of things popping up. My opinion on it is that A, has to be used with caution. You have to understand what are the barriers to proper functional nasal breathing? Is there any airway obstruction, any physical obstruction in the airway? So that has to be understood. And one has to understand that a mouth tape is a band-aid solution, like quite literally. So yeah. If you are using it as part of therapy and retraining your brain, retraining your muscles to work properly, retraining your brain to breathe properly, then it can definitely have value if it's not contraindicated. But if using it as a standalone can have limited results, some people don't see a reduction of snoring, for example, from mouth taping, because their tongue still falls into the back of the airway. But yeah, I know quite a few people that have benefited from just having their mouth closed during the night. They get a better night's sleep. They're happier the next morning. They don't suffer from bed breath anymore because they don't expose their mouth environment to bad microbiome from the bacteria that love to thrive in the dry mouth. So because keeping the saliva in the mouth helps with dental health, oral health as well. So it can have, definitely can have value, but my preference is that if people use that, they're also retraining their breathing and retraining their oral function at the same time, so that they're actually moving towards a sustainable result rather than needing to rely on mouth tape the rest of their life.
That's a good point. It sounds like it's a very sort of simple solution, almost a bit too simple, and that if you are having legitimate breathing issues, it's best to go through a professional like yourself to get them addressed so then you're not sort of getting it worsening or just like a band-aid, like you said. So when it comes to your consultations and treatments, what do they typically involve and how are they structured?
Yeah, sure. So the therapy sessions, what we do is the person gets issued the exercises, say the session before, they've been practicing them for a couple of weeks, they come back for their follow-up. We check on how they perform the exercises and what changes are occurring in their habits. So that's very important to track the changes in the habits, because if we just do the exercises but we don't pay attention to our breathing pattern, we don't pay attention to our tongue posture and lip posture, we're actually not changing the behavior. We're only strengthening the muscles, which has a benefit, but it doesn't resolve the big picture. It's not full treatment. And then, we see that the technique of the exercises is good, and then we're basically able to move them to next level, which is the other lot of exercises. So that's what my functional therapy looks like. If I'm working with someone purely on their breath, I would be often using a tool called capnography. So capnography is used in medical settings, mainly in emergency and surgery for the anesthetics purposes. And people get monitored in emergency rooms for their CO2. We use capnography for an educational purpose, not a medical purpose, and it basically becomes a biofeedback machine where the person has cannulas, little tubes in their nose that go behind their ears, and they can look at the computer screen and see their breath. So they can see their, the frequency, the fluctuation of their breath, their CO2 levels, which is directly correlated with oxygen uptake, and because they can see it, they can change it. Changing the breathing pattern is one of the biggest biohacks that we have access to, because we can't just consciously sit there and I'm going to change my heart rate now or I'm going to change my body temperature, but we can change our breathing, which in turn influences other parts of our autonomic nervous system. It's quite incredible all the benefits that it can bring and how varied that toolkit can be. There's so many types of breath work that people have used for mental health, for trauma release. I don't do any of that type of work, but I just help people have the healthy 24/7 breath and understand what it looks like and what it feels like, and once they know what it feels like, they can change it.
And you're based on the Gold Coast, but you also do online sessions as well, don't you?
Yes. I'm based on the Gold Coast, and all of the myofunctional therapy sessions are possible to be done online. Due to video call is a great way that we have accessible to us right now. With the breathing sessions, sometimes people come and stay for a few days and can see me a few consecutive days, or if they live a bit further away, maybe they can come a few times, once a week or once a fortnight, to get that work done, because the machine, you know, obviously works only when you're in person. But a lot of it is troubleshooting, helping people solve their problems. If it's nasal congestion, often I have to teach people to use nasal hygiene tools, and I'm sure that's part of your work as well, because that's really important. A nose that's congested and infested with poor microbiome is the breeding ground for bacteria that make the congestion worse and make the allergies worse, and it's a negative cycle that needs to be broken. So, yeah, a lot of this type of work can be done over video calls. So it just really depends what we're working on.
Awesome. And so I'll pop a link to Jana's website on our show notes for anyone who is interested in learning more about her treatments and to book in a consultation. You can also learn more about positive association technique, or PAT, by visiting our website, naturalallergytreatment.com.au. So thank you for joining me today, Jana. It's been really interesting to learn about the intricacies of how we breathe and this vast array of impacts that dysfunctional breathing can have. And I think our listeners will get a lot out of this episode and see that it may be something they need to explore. And thank you to our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our channel to catch future episodes. And you can also follow us on Instagram at natural.allergy.treatment to keep in the loop. Thanks, Jana.
Thank you, Jess.